big as Hummus, you need a small area to carry the stuff into, and you can focus with a small candle. If you want to illuminate an entire room, then you wouldn't use really a candle, then you have to put a big, much bigger flame. The Gemara says that a mitzvah are great, mitzvahs are phenomenal, but they're limited in scope, and they only have the ability to illuminate a very, very small area. Whereas Torah lights up the entire world, lights up the whole area, lights up the whole universe. That's a different type of a light. The Gemara says, what's the difference practically between the two? So the Gemara says that a mitzvah only makes sense for the Kerma B'Shaito. That means a mitzvah is made at the time you're doing a mitzvah. There are very specific times for mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs, say, so Pesach is Pesach time, mitzvah is a Sukkot time, Shabbos is a Shabbos. Different mitzvahs have different times. If you observe a mitzvah not at the right time, so that's Maxim Baltosif. Whereas Torah doesn't know any time limitation. Limit of Torah, there's no such thing, no such difference. Torah is the entire world, and it spans all time and all places and everything. So with that background, I think now it's appropriate to understand what we're about to try to accomplish this year. So our goal this year was to go through all the sugyas of basically Chelek Hei, of Chelek Hei, Chelek Vav, B'Shavur, not all the good parts of it, of halachas related to the Yom Tovim cycle. Between this year and next year, I forgot what the breakdown is, so we're supposed to do a lot of the Yom Tovim cycle. So whenever you learn Hilchos Yontif, so you run into a little bit of a problem, because people are very excited about learning Hilchos Yontif right before Yontif. You have a shiur Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, week before Rosh Hashanah, wow, yeah, the year people are excited. So the truth is that if you try to blow shofar now, we would have to label that as an act of Tosif. To learn sugyas of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot in the middle of the winter, what's the big deal? It's a Kabbalic thing. Because Limud HaTorah doesn't know any time, so there's no any limitation. So it's the same Limud HaTorah, whether it's Erev Yom Kippur or it's Mal Yom Kippur. It's the same Kabbalic mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, so you should be so excited. I remember when I was in 11th grade, so the yeshiva, I went to high school, we learned the Sechas Pesachim. So for the whole year, we were learning Orel HaBosso, and Kol Shav, and Rangitan, and Chometz, and Hol Yeh Bayroi, and Matzadireh. And then it came back the day after Pesach, it came back to yeshiva. There's another 6 weeks left of yeshiva. So I remember there was like a big downer, like, guys, nobody want to hear about Tashbis anymore. Nobody really cared about Tvei Rabbi Matz anymore. So the Rabbi gave us this whole big chizak speech. And he said, what are you talking about? He says, leave it out there, leave it out there. What's the difference whether it's Erev Pesach, after Pesach, in the summer, in the winter? It's all the same thing. So with that note, we're going to continue where we left off last time. And then we're going to start to talk a little bit about the Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, so Erev Yom Kippur, Hashem, will come around the bend in another 12 or so months. But we'll try to learn through some of the sugyas of Erev Yom Kippur right now. However, what we'll try to do is, since probably not everybody was so convinced by my Dibur Chizuk, so we'll try to focus on those aspects that touch on other areas of halacha as well. That it won't just be an Erev Yom Kippur Shiur, and it won't just be a Hilchos Yom Kippur Shiur, but we'll use it as a springboard to talk about topics that are very, very much relevant to halacha l'maaseh, and not just in that one day a year, those 2 days a year, but rather something that really is a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. So the first topic that comes up in Shulchan Aruch that we're going to talk about relating to the unique halachas of Erev Yom Kippur, it's interesting that the 2 days of the year that have the most halachas of Erev, both Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, the most complicated days in the year of Erev Yom Tov. So Erev Yom Kippur, Shulchan Aruch quotes a minhag that, it's a machlok, is whether it's a minhag or not, the practice that Klai Yisrael has to go to the mikvah, all the men go to the mikvah at Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh, in the end of Maseches Yuma, quotes this practice already as an age-old practice in the days of the Gaonim, but it doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. So the Rosh quotes in the name of Sadigon that when a man goes to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur, he should recite a bracha, asher kiddushan mitzvah, it's called a tefillah, because it's a real bona fide mitzvah to go to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh quotes this Rav Sadigon and disagrees. He says he doesn't know where's the mitzvah, what's the rice of the rabban, where did he state the answer to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur? It's a nice thing to do, it's a beautiful thing to do, but in terms of being a real chiyuv, some hechetes that you would recite a bracha. Yes. And then the Rosh suggests that maybe, in defense of Rav Sadigon, what Rav Sadigon meant was that the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, chayav adam mutar atzma beregel, that a person has to purify themselves before each of the Yom Tovim. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. It says in the Chumash, uvriv losam lo sigol, the Torah says in a few places in Parsha Shmini, you're not allowed to touch tamidic animals. Adam wasn't shechted properly, so it's betami. You're not allowed to touch it. You're not supposed to touch a nevela. So the Gemara says, what does it mean not allowed to touch a nevela? Is it isn't a touch a nevela? Even a Kohen who's not allowed to touch a dead body is allowed to touch a nevela of a behema. There was a tshuva, it's hard to call it a tshuva, there was a response that was written probably from the days of Gaonim that somebody wrote that a Kohen is not allowed to become tummy to a dead animal. The same way the Kohen is not allowed to become tummy to a dead, the person is not allowed to become tummy to a dead animal. So they asked the Rav what he thought about the quote-unquote tshuva from the days of the Gaonim. So the Rav thought for a minute and he said, the stomach of the Gaon who wrote that tshuva was an Am Aretz. He said, just because something came from the time of the Gaonim doesn't mean that it's a Teres Moshe. It means there are a lot of them rats and floating around the days of the Gaonim also. So you have to know who wrote that tshuva. So that particular tshuva wasn't written by somebody authentic. So the Gemara says, Masechta Yerushalmi, that even a Kohen is allowed to touch a dead animal. So of course the Jews are like regularly Yisrael's allowed to. So what does the Vivlosam Losigo mean? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, what that means is that the Yontif, you're not allowed to touch a dead animal. Why? Because in Yontif, you have to be in the state of Tahara, and you can't be derived the din, that you can't shechai b'ad matarat sober regals. So many of the Rishonim assume that's a real din deraisa, that your mamash has to become Torah before Yontif. So the Rosh says, maybe that's where Sadigon was driving at. That when he said you have to go to the mikveh in Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't just mean Erev Yom Kippur, he meant Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Sukkos, and Erev Pesach, and Erev Shavuos. So anytime you go to the mikveh before Yom Tov, you're fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of chayav adam l'tahara b'regel. That's why you recited bracha, but it's not unique to Yom Kippur per se. So the Rosh thinks maybe that would be pshat in Rav Sadigon, and then he rejects it. He says, I don't think it's true. Why? It's because he says that that mitzvah l'tahara b'regel doesn't apply to zman hazeh. Why doesn't it apply to zman hazeh? Because we're not going to become Torah anyway. If the guy goes to the mikveh 100 times over, he's still tamei tumas meis. So if you would have Efer Paraduma, so then it's conceivable you could become Tor, then you can fulfill the mitzvah properly. But you're not going to become Tor anyway. What you're going to do is you're going to remove some tumors, but you're still stuck with other tumors, so you don't really accomplish all that much. So the Rosh says he doesn't think that mitzvah would apply to his mindset. Then there are other reasons why others say that that's hard to believe, that that's what Sadduyon meant. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Taratz of the Regel is linked to the fact that you have to eat karbonos on the regel. You have to come a little regel on the regelim. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah b'chal doesn't apply to b'zman hazeh. So the Sheikh Sa'i writes that b'chal is no mitzvah b'zman hazeh. The Rosh says there's no mitzvah b'zman hazeh because we can't become tohar. But the Rambam says there's no mitzvah b'zman hazeh because we don't have a base of mikdosh. And anyway, even there's a bunch of base of mikdosh shekhaim, the mitzvah wouldn't have applied Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur because you don't come a little regel anyway in those days. So to commit Rav Sadigon to this pshat, that the reason why you have to go to Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur is Lataras of a regel, is very, very, very shaky. It's very shaky because we're not sure the mitzvah b'chal is possible b'zman hazeh. We don't have Efer Paraduma. And even if we would have Efer Paraduma, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And even if we had a Beis HaMikdash, we're not sure it would apply in Rosh Yom Kippur anyway. So the whole thing is very, very, very shaky. That's what Rav Sadigon was driving at. So what was he driving at? If he wasn't driving at the suggestion, what's another possible pshat in Rav Sadigon? Why he would recite a bracha? So the later Achronim suggest the following teretz, which really touches on a very shas kind of a topic, that the Mishnah says in the third parak in Maseches Brachos that Ezra was misaking that if a person is a balkari, if a man becomes tummy, he's not allowed to learn, not allowed to download. The Brachos also gives the end of the third parak of Brachos, quote Takanas Ezra. So after five lot of that discussion, the Gemara quotes from Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says we don't observe this din anymore. And the Gemara kind of leaves it hanging like that. The Gemara says we pass the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that the whole Takanas Ezra is Baslam Avutal. So the Rishon, the Bar, what do the words mean? Ezra lived 500 years before Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda was a Tana. So Ezra lived 500 years early. He was much, much greater than Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So what do you mean Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was Mefatal to Kones Ezra? We have a rule that Ein Bezin Yachal Vatal, Dibber Bezin Chavayot, Ein Gol B'chach Mevaminyan. So that's a Pella. What's Pshat in that Gemara? So Tosfos writes that I think the answer to that riddle is as follows. That they think that what the Chazal realized was that the Kona was never really pashed to Barov Yisrael. Even though Ezra had made it to Kona hundreds of years before, but Lamaisa was never really practiced. And Yechidei school of practice, the Monam were never really observing the Takana properly anyway. So we have a rule that whenever Takana is lopashed to Barov Yisrael, then it's nitan to be nisbatla. So then you don't need a bezin gol b'chach l'minyan. It doesn't disappear into thin air. You need a bittul and bezin, but the bezin need not be gol b'chach l'minyan. So that's how Tosa sizes up historically. That's what they think probably happened. That the Takana was made by Ezra was much, much greater than Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But the Takana Lamaisa never really took hold. It never really took hold. Hundreds of years later, they realized it still hadn't taken hold. Therefore, it was nita to be revived. Well, that's what we practice at the Mizeh, that we don't observe Takana Ezra. As Amidis Chasidus, the Rishonim, right? You want to be Mekayim Takana Ezra, Amidis Chasidus, that's beautiful. But in terms of being a real Chiyah, one is not obligated to do so.
I think I remember somewhere in the Gemara, like the Torah is like fire or something.
Right, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't worry about the Kohen Ezra because the Torah could ash and that will come to it anyway. But what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira denies that Ezra made the Takon? Of course Ezra made the Takon. He's just saying that we don't have to follow this Takon. The Meiri quotes a fascinating pshat in that Gemara. Not like this. The Meiri says that that we usually think of it as a Dinder Abana to Kodesh Ezra. So he says, no, it wasn't a Dinder Abana, it was a Dinder Aisa. Ezra Dashan from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that in the time of Matan Torah, so everyone had to go to the mikvah, Tikshu Alisha, you weren't allowed to be with your wives for 3 days, clearly to avoid issues of Tumas Keri. So then the Pasuk says, when you teach Torah to the next generation, you have to mimic Matan Torah. So the Gemara quotes that Pasuk and says, Ezra said, just as Matan Torah, you had to be Tor, you couldn't be a Valkyrie, so to the Deri Deris, you have to be Tor as well. So Reuben the Rishonim learned that Gemara is just an Asmachta V'yama. The Gemara calls it Takonas Ezra. It was only a Dinder Rabbanon. So the Mir says, no, it was a real Dinder Aisa. The Gemara says Takonas Ezra. The Takonas just means Loshen Hiskin, Darsh Hiskin, the Gemara says another place. So sometimes the word Takonas means a Der Aisa. So the Iri says that Takonas Ezra was a real Dinder Aisa. He really dashed it from apostles. That makes matters worse. So the Mir says, that makes matters much better. Because the Rambam quotes in Ufas Mamre from Yerushalmi, now, when is there a rule that you need a greater Beis Din through a Batla previous Beis Din? That's if you want to uproot a Dinder Rabbanan. So the original Beis Din made a Takana Sacham. If you want to change that Takana, you have to be greater than the first Beis Din. But if the original Beis Din passed a Dinder Aisa, now you think they made a mistake, you have a different way of Dashin and Psuch, if you think the Galachom is different, then you don't need to be a Beis Din of Gol B'chof with a Binyan. And that's the Din of El Ashefet Hashayev Yomahem, Ein Lechol Hashav, it should be a Mecha. So the Rishami says the favorite, when it comes to Dinim Derai, so the later Beis Din can uproot the Sacha, the earlier Beis Din, without being greater than them, as long as they're Beis Din, as long as they're in the parish being a Beis Din. Let's say you have a Beis Din of Gadol Paskin one thing, and then a couple of rabbis 100 years later decide to change it. That's not good. You have to have a Beis Din of Gadol that's taking on a Beis Din of Gadol. Well, in terms of longer that it's a Beis Din of a legitimate Beis Din to take on the first Beis Din, it need not be Gadol B'chach with minions. So the Iri says the reason why Rabbi Yehuda B'Seh was able to change the Din was because he held that the Din was never a Din Derabban in the first place. It was a Din Deraisa. It's the Din Deraisa, therefore it could flip, therefore it could disappear. The thin air went to later Beis Din thinks that the drasha wasn't correct. That's a very Mechudosh Tevah Pshah. The Pashat Pshah in the Sugi is like Taisus, that Takanas Ezra was a regular plain Din Derabbanan, and the Koch of the later Beis Din to be Vatla was based on the fact that it was never Pashat Barok Yisrael. So some Achorim have the following. So some Achorim write, whenever you have this type of a Din, that there's a Takanas Acham that was made, and it never really caught on, but what if it never caught on entirely, but it did catch on partially? Let's say Klal Yisrael did vote to observe this takana to a certain degree, but they never were able to keep it fully. So then some achronim writes, and then whichever part Klal Yisrael accepted is the original takana still intact. Whatever part Klal Yisrael rejects, so that part of the takana becomes rejected. So some achronim write that Ezra made this grandiose takana for 354 days a year. If you're a tummy and Allah Adab and Allah Lurla, and Brach, etc. So Klal Yisrael said it's ridiculous. We can't keep this. Nobody was really keeping it. At the end of the day, nobody was observing it. But one day a year, everybody, raised the bar a little bit. One day a year, everybody was able to observe this takana. Now one day it was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, everybody was able to go to the mikveh every Yom Kippur. That was David Davis, they were going to the mikveh every Yom Kippur. And everybody was observing the takana Ezra one day a year. So Samach Renim right. Abba Zoy, that Klal Yisrael themselves kept on observing it at least one day a year. That one day a year, it's Tachachal Midin. That one day a year, the concept is Mamash binding. And therefore, when you go to the mikvah in Erevim Kippur, you're not going out some funny minig or something. You're going out L'Kayim to Konas Ezra. And just as in the days of Ezra, you can make a bracha shek in Yishan Mitzvah and Tzivan or Tvila, so too you can make that bracha Bizman Azeh also, because that one day a year that the Konas is binding. So there was some Rishayim who seem to say this in the notes in the Tzivis of Frank's different Kray Kedesh, so the Post can point out that there are some Rishayim who seem to say this. The Torah quotes an opinion that says that if a person became a Valkyrie on Yom Kippur, he goes to sleep Yom Kippur, and he wakes up, he realizes that he became Tomei. So some Rishayim say he should go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur itself. Why? Because Chayav Tfilas, Tavim Kedak, and the Yom Kippurim, that if you Chayav to go to the mikvah, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. That's not called the Rechitza Shal Tainik, that's called the Rechitza Shal Chiyuv. What do you mean Tzvechit Tzvechit? The whole thing is a joke. You're not Mechuv to go anyway. The whole thing is only a mini B'alma. So those Rishonim, the Rebats alone, if I'm not mistaken, those Rishonim who said that if you become Tabit to Miskari, you're Mechuv to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, they held it's Mavish a Chiyuv Gomer, and as a Chiyuv Gomer, so you have to go, even on Yom Kippur itself, and as a Chiyuv Gomer, you can be said a bracha before Yom Kippur as well. So we don't really ask it like this. And then again, Shulchan Aruch is, we go to the mikvah every Yom Kippur, we don't recite a bracha, probably because we don't buy into the whole Shkibba Torah. We hold that it was never a Dinder Rabbanan. It's not a Dinder Rabbanan, not a Dinder Aisa, a Dinder Rabbanan. It's a Minig B'Alma, and therefore there's no bracha. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the other Rishonim, who said if a person becomes Tamin Yom Kippur, it's a big deal. So he continues to daven and make brachas and learn, and he doesn't have to worry about the Tagadah Ezra, that we would never advocate, we would never sanction going to the mikvah Yom Kippur proper. We don't think, we're not so serious, not so worried about this quote unquote minig of going to the mikvah. It's a nice minig to do if you can do it, but for whatever reason you didn't do it, everyone kippah, so the world's not going to come to an end. We don't hold that there's a real din of Takanas Ezra, Bizman Azeh, even on Yom Kippur. So So since the days of Rav Sadia Gaon, nobody recited this bracha. The Rosh rejected the bracha, and the Shulchan Aruch rejects the bracha. And for over 1,000 years, nobody made this bracha, except for one of my boys made this bracha once. One year at Erev Yom Kippur, I heard, they were walking into the mikvah, and I heard them totally in the mikvah, and they made the bracha. So I said, well, I came at it, what did you make the bracha for? He said, because it says on the wall, before you go on, when you go into the water, recite the following bracha. So they were right, but that's only for women. So I noticed that, I didn't complain about it, but I noticed that for this year, the Tinek Mikvah, so there was a sign that said that only women should recite this bracha. I imagine what happened was that Papa, a couple of other people also made the same mistake. That was just my you know, great Tamil Chacham voice, who may have a Mechavid to have sat to go, and others also a Mechavid to have sat to go. I said, in our family, we have this somehow, this mishigas, that we find ourselves back to the days of the Gaonim. Like I've told over the story before, that there's the Rush, the same Rush, the Rush in the Seches Mecheres, in the 8th prayer, quotes from the Gaonim, that when you do a Pidyon HaBen, so the father makes a bracha, makes two brachas, he makes the bracha Pidyon HaBen, he makes a Shechiyanu, and that's what says in the Gemara, and then the Gaonim write, that when the Kohen receives the money, he recites a bracha as well. He makes a long, and the Gaonim give you a long, 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 Shekidesh, Pitrei Rechem, Baruch Hashem, Kadesh, Pitrei Rechmesh, as well. Some grandiose Nusach HaBracha we've never ever heard of, that was apparently prevalent in the day of the Gaonim. So the Rush thinks that the bracha is not correct. First of all, he says, who are we to make up the brachas? We don't have a right to make up the brachas. And number two, the Rush says, why is he making a bracha? He's just being makabal, like giving him truma. When you give truma to the Kohen, he doesn't make a bracha. He's just makabal on a stoner. Why is he making a bracha? So the Rush says the whole thing is lahayot v'amiyam, shouldn't make the bracha. So nobody since the days of the Rush has made this bracha, except for my, we almost had this at a goof at one of the pidyon beds in my family, one of my bosom, I'll make a pidyon bed for a son. And I noticed that right after he made the bracha, so then the Kohen was about to make this bracha also, to make this bracha that appears in the Gaon. So where'd that come from? So the mistake came from, there's a sefer called Pidyon Ben Kilchoso. So in the back of Pidyon Ben Kilchoso, there's one chapter about Seder Pidyon Ben Bizman Hazer, and then for the Lamdonim, there's another chapter called Seder Pidyon Ben Lefi Minhagei Gaonim. So he was following the one that says Lefi Minhagei Gaonim. That's why I should have noticed earlier, because the Aramaic was off a little bit. He had like a little bit of a different nusach. I figured, he found some nusach fried or something. So then I realized that he was reading the wrong page. He was reading the last people who made that bracha in the days of Surim Pumadisa. Haigel was the last person who made that bracha. So our family has this knack. Somehow we still think we're grown up in that. We still think we're in Iraq. So we're back in the 800s. Okay. Getting back to this story. This idea that sometimes you have a takana that was made, and then the takana was nispatla, because it was learned with partial Bro Yisrael, but when it was nispatla, it was never nispatla legamre, and then when it's not nispatla, if that chilek is not nispatla, it may actually be kayam mikradin. This may be part of another story related to the Seos of the Tshuva, that's related to the Sugi Pasakum. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes also from the Gaonim that there's an age-old practice that during the Seos of the Tshuva we observe the din of Pasakum. What do we observe Pasakum? Pasakum is a Mishnah. Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a non-Jew. So even though the Mishnah lumps it together with Bishalach and Pasach and Samyenim, all the Yisurim, the Rabbanon, to prevent us from intermarrying with the Goyim, so the Rishon already point out, based on a little bit of the Baal and a little bit more in the Rishalmi, that it appears that Chazal were much, much more lenient about Pasach than they were about Bishalach. Why were they more lenient about Pasach? Because it's much more difficult to live without bread, without fancy steaks and fish and eggs or something you can survive. Without bread, Mishnah quote Alechem Levad Yichyadim. Even though that's not what it says, it says Lo Alechem Levad. But Mishnah quote as it says Alechem Levad Yichyadim. So you need bread. So therefore, Chazal were very, very naked. What was one of the coolers that Chazal built into the system? It doesn't say this explicitly in the Gemara, at least in the Bavli. They built into the system the following cooler: that if the pas palter, that it's a professional baker, so then it's highly unlikely you're going to marry them anyway. If it's a next door neighbor who gives you bread, so then you may get a social relationship with them. It's a professional baker. You know, who it is, but it's unlikely you're going to marry their daughter. So therefore, Chazal were matter in later generations to eat pas palter. Why were they matter? Because it was a big, big shasat chak. So Tosis, Mishan, Yisr, Kasha, what do you mean? How could he be matter? At the end of the day, the Yisr Rabbanu was made, so we were tough. Yisr Rabbanu is binding, and Ein Bezin Yoch Levat, the Bez Chaveirai. One can go to B'chach Levidin, which we're clearly not told to B'chach Levidin in the Chachbe HaMishnah. So the Rishonim explained that it was never really Pashto in the first place. That it could be that from day one it was never a completely 100% Pashto Barov Yisrael. So the same Pizman that Taisus writes to Gavit Milosandra may apply to Pasach as well. So So the same idea, Samach Levadim right, that Amedim Amemurim, the Pasakim wasn't Pashtim of Yisrael, that meant the rest of the year. It's hard, 344 days a year, it's hard to live up to those standards. But 10 days a year could be a little higher level. So 10 days a year should be Makbid, not to rely on the Kula Paspal. You shouldn't eat professionally baked bread, you shouldn't eat the Jewish made bread. So it could be that during those 10 days of Aseres Metshuva, when you are refraining from Pasakim, it's not just a Midas Chasid, it's not just a Midas Biyam, but it's a real din. Because for those 10 days a year, the takana was never in a spot. Less than vis-a-vis those 10 days, the takana is still binding. That would be a whole big chumrah. That would put a whole new light on Pasachim, their Aseres Metshuvah. Most people spend most of their Aseres Metshuvah trying to catch up and sleep from sleepless and trying to figure out whether they're serious Pasachim or not. So according to most, it's just a minig anyway. It's at the end of the world if you mess up in Pasachim. But according to some, it's more than a minig. It's a real din. It's the real takana Mishnah, the takana Tanoim, the Pasachim that is still binding in full force. Join the Aseres Metshuvah. So again, they're both chidushim. I didn't say we paskin neither like those achronim by Balkari, nor like those achronim by Pasachim, but it's the same type of idea. Just coincidentally, they're both related to Aseres Metshuvah, but again, they both impact on the rest of the year as well.
What about those who only Pasachim on Shabbos?
That's a minig. That I don't think anybody would agree that that would say that's an amshah, real, real, real din. That's a minig chasidus. That's a nice thing to do, but it's not equally good.
So the reason by Pasachim of a professional baker, because maybe you're not going to intermarry.
Because it's unlikely.
So wouldn't that same thing apply by the other...
Right, so Chazal didn't want it. So that svar of Paspalter is not the greatest svar in the world. So, you know, one could argue it's a low plug. But when it came to Pasachim, since it was a big shasad chak, they were willing to be baked. And if Bishalachim, we would never say such a thing. The Bishalachim is no heter called Bishal Palter. There's no such halach. But Moshe has a chiddush gadol. Moshe writes that the medim and memurim that is no cool about bishalakam of just the idea, the parallel of a paltar, that's if you know who the person is. But let's say you have no idea who the person is, and you have no way of ever finding out who the person is, and if the guy's cooking you something in 1,000 miles away in some factory, so Moshe held the maker, then that's not really called bishalakam. Even bishalakam would be willing to be making on that. And that was a big, that was a very controversial psalm. I don't want to agree to that. That was part of the. The big machlekes and tuna fish years ago, where the tuna fish was included in Bishalakam. It was part because there's some guy sitting in Puerto Rico who's cooking up your tuna fish for you, who you'll never ever meet, you're never going to marry his daughter. So, according to Moshe Mikra, then that wouldn't be Bishalakam, and others were disagreed with that. So, most of us are making on that shayla b'tzir of other things. A few others thought him like the OU gives a shkaf on tuna fish, not just because of that kula, but because of a combination of different factors. So again, so this is one thing that's important in terms of one of the minhagim, one of the practices in Klal Yisrael of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. There's another age-old practice on Erev Yom Kippur. It doesn't go back to the Gemara per se, from some Rishonim maybe it does, but that's the practice of reciting Kol Nidre. Right before Yom Kippur starts, so everybody gets up, we come to shul, and everyone says Kol Nidre. So there's a big machlokes in the Gaonim and the Rishonim. What exactly is the goal of the saying of Kol Nidre? So, according to the old practice, the Minhag HaGaonim, Kol Nidre was a form of Hataras Nedarim. And the Lashon, the Nusach of Kol Nidre reflected that. And the Nusach was, Yom Kippurim She'avad Yom Kippurim Zad. That would basically be Matan Nedar for all of last year's Nedarim. What do you mean, Matan Nedar for last year's Nedarim? Kind of like someone says that. So, when you Matan Nedar, so you have to be Tzach HaFardas HaNedar, you have to explain exactly what the Nedar is, you have to go to a basin, you have to hold the whole procedure. You get up and say, Hocus Pocus, three people on the Dharma Batel. That's a very, very difficult cash against the Gaon. So we should explain that maybe Midaraisa ain't so far as there, and maybe Midaraisa, we can assume there really is a charat to make kara, because nobody really wants to be chayt at Erev Yom Kippur. So give you a half dozen reasons as to why the Gaonim had such an idea that Kol Nidre satisfies, at least on level of Midaraisa, the criteria for Tarsimah. So Rabbi Natam thought that the kashas were better than the Tirutzim. Rabbi Natam said he thought the whole thing was a mistake. That Kol Nidre was never supposed to be a Taras Nedarim. Kol Nidre was supposed to be what? A Modola Hava. It's supposed to be a declaration that all Nedarim in the future are not going to be binding. That's a sugi in the third pepper, Sechas Nedarim, that Mikra Din, a person could make such a Modola, and if he takes a Nedar 6 months later, at the time they took the Nedar, he didn't remember that he made the Modola, so the Nedar is type of Bottel. So Rabbi Natam says that's what you're doing when you say Kol Nidre. So different opinions. Some say Kol Nidre was a statement about the past, it was a Taras Nedarim of the past, and the Rabbi Natam held, it's Lahaba. My Nafkamina is big Nafkamina, what the Nusul Kol Nidre is. According to the Minhag HaGaonim, so the Nusach Shvimi Yom Kippurim She'avad Yom Kippurim Zeh, according to Ben Etam, the Nusach Shvimi Yom Kippurim Zeh Yom Kippurim Mabah. So that's what most of us practice. Most of us, most Siddur, most of us follow the Minhag of Ben Etam. And there are some people who throw in both for good luck. Throw in Yom Kippurim She'avad Yom Kippurim Zeh Yom Kippurim Mabah to make everybody happy. The problem is the Aramaic doesn't match up. The Aramaic doesn't match up to anything. The way our text, the Kol Nidri, is a little bit, it's a little bit of a chill into the of the Aramaic, because we speak La'Bobo, we speak in we use a Loshen Avar in terms of the Darna, the Ishtabana. I don't know too much about Aramaic, but the Mucha and Aramaic have told us that it doesn't read. It's Yeshiva Shek Kol Nidri, but it's not exactly up to par in terms of the prophet. But the basic idea is, according to most followers of Ben Atam, it's supposed to be La'Bobo. Whether you have to say Kalnidre Mibiod Yomada, if you hold that Kalnidre is a Modola Bob, you have to say Mibiod Yomada, it could be make a Modon Yom Kippur, why not? If you hold that it's a Tarsh Tadarm, then it gets a little bit tricky, because a Tarsh Tadarm, the Mishnah says in the end of Shabbos, you're only allowed to be Matha Nidarm at Shabbos and Yom Tavit Kutzarach Hayoim, because it's according to some, it's like Maisa Bezin a little bit, others, it's like Tzachevtzacha types of reasons, so you're not really supposed to be Matha Nedar if it's not Litzarach Hayoim. So how do you get around their problems? Either you hold that's called the Tzarech HaYom, because nobody wants to have the Chatoim of Nedarim on their head, so that's considered like a Shtekel Tzarech HaYom. Or you should be Machbet to say Kondidu before, or Shkia. That's what our practice is. So it's strange. Even though we really follow Rabbeinu Tam, Kondidu is not really a Tzarech HaYom, it's really Lahabah. And therefore there's really no reason to do it Mivyod Yom, and Midig has become to do it Mivyod Yom. So that's become the prevalent Midig Yisrael, that Kondidu starts a few minutes before Shkia, in order, and I'm not saying every... all three Kondidres necessarily make it before Shkia, but at least the first one makes it in before Shkia to satisfy that opinion that we should try to get Kondidre in Mibiyod Yom, even though, again, the way, if you're saying the Nusach of me Kalahaba, so there's no real reason, but we should request that to become the prevalent Tekasas, that's what we do today as well. Okay, so we touched on a couple of things related to Erev Yom Kippur, we have a few more things, hopefully that's from next week, then we'll move on to Yom Kippur proper, and then we'll see where we'll go from there. The Sukkot Chanukah, depending on how far it takes it to Yom Kippur. Okay.